All right, so we're back and ready for another deep dive, and this time we're wading into the murky waters of U.S. politics in 2025. Specifically, we're looking at the Trump administration again and its impact on, well, everything, really, from the inner workings of government to the global stage. And to guide us on this journey, we've got the latest issue of electoral-vote.com. It's packed with juicy details about Elon Musk, the U.N., and even hints at a potential DeSantis-Trump showdown. So buckle up, folks. It's going to be a wild ride. So first up, Elon Musk. You know the guy revolutionizing space travel? Well, now he set his sights on revolutionizing the federal government. Mm. Over the weekend, he sent out this email demanding that every federal employee submit bullet point summaries of their work from last week. I mean, can you imagine the collective groan that must have echoed across government offices everywhere?
It's certainly an unconventional approach, to say the least. What I find interesting is that this move seems to stem from Musk's Silicon Valley background, you know, where efficiency and quantifiable metrics are everything. But governing a country, it's a whole different beast. It's about navigating complex systems relationships and the nuances of human behavior, not exactly things that can be easily captured in a bullet point summary.
You got that right. And it seems the feds weren't too thrilled about it either. Apparently, some senior officials, including the FBI director and the director of national intelligence, told their staff to just ignore Musk's email. But here's the real kicker. People started flooding that DOGE email address.
Yeah.
You know, the one Musk set up for government communications? With all sorts of satirical resistance emails. One even included the lyrics to Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, wow. It seems like Musk might be learning the hard way that government bureaucracy, it doesn't quite operate at the speed of a tech startup. This situation also highlights the potential for conflict within the Trump administration. If senior officials are openly defying Musk, it raises questions about who's really in control and how much influence Musk actually wields. Is this just a minor hiccup, or could it be a sign of deeper divisions and potential chaos to come?
That's the question, isn't it? And speaking of potential chaos, let's move on to the major shakeup happening in law enforcement. We've got some interesting characters taking on some pretty powerful roles here. First, we have Kash Patel, a figure deeply involved in Trump's first impeachment, now at the helm of the ATF. And there's Dan Bongino, the conservative firebrand and podcaster, who's landed the position of deputy FBI director. And let's not forget Ed Martin, the acting U.S. attorney for D.C., known more for his staunch defense of January 6 rioters than for any notable prosecutorial experience. It's a lot to take in. What are your thoughts on these appointments?
Well, the common thread among these appointees seems to be their strong ties to Trump and their history of, well, shall we say, colorful rhetoric. What's concerning is that their qualifications for these positions seem to be secondary to their loyalty to the president.
And loyalty could be a double-edged sword, especially when it comes to upholding the law. What are the potential consequences of having individuals with such strong political leanings in these critical law enforcement roles?
Well, it raises serious concerns about the potential for bias and politicization within these agencies. Will they be impartial enforcers of the law, or will their decisions be influenced by their political allegiances? For example, Ed Martin's alleged interference in a domestic violence investigation involving a congressman. That's particularly troubling.
Right, that story about Martin trying to bury the investigation into Corey Mills.
Yeah.
The Florida congressman accused of domestic violence. It really raises some red flags.
It certainly does. If investigations into potential wrongdoing are being obstructed to protect political allies, it undermines the integrity of the justice system and erodes public trust in law enforcement. The implications are pretty far-reaching.
No kidding. It almost makes you wonder if there's a deliberate attempt to dismantle any semblance of accountability within the administration.
That's a very interesting point. It's worth considering whether these appointments are part of a broader strategy to shield Trump and his allies from scrutiny and legal repercussions.
It's a chilling thought, to be honest. And speaking of chilling, let's shift gears to the international arena, where Trump seems to have made a rather dramatic U-turn when it comes to Ukraine. It's as if he woke up one morning and decided to switch allegiances from Zelensky to Putin. His recent tweet about Zelensky is a prime example. He accuses Zelensky of everything from misusing aid money to being a dictator, all while praising Putin as a strong leader. He even went so far as to claim that Zelensky admitted half the money the U.S. sent is missing, which, from what I've read, isn't true at all. And the constant digs about Zelensky being a dictator because he suspended elections, that's actually mandated by the Ukrainian constitution during martial law.
Yeah.
It just feels like he's twisting the facts to fit his own narrative.
It's certainly a perplexing shift in rhetoric and policy. What's particularly concerning is that many of the claims Trump is making about Zelensky are demonstrably false. This raises questions about his motives and whether his actions are driven by a genuine understanding of the situation or by other, perhaps more personal considerations.
So you're saying there might be more to this story than meets the eye?
Indeed. It's possible that Trump's realignment with Russia is driven by a combination of factors. Perhaps there's some personal animosity towards Zelensky. Or maybe it's a calculated move to secure access to Ukraine's vast reserves of rare earth minerals, which are essential for various technologies and industries. He might even be viewing this conflict through a purely transactional lens, seeking a quick win to bolster his image on the global stage.
And what about the way he practically threw Ukraine under the bus at the UN? That whole situation was a diplomatic disaster.
Well, U.S. voting against a resolution supporting Ukraine in the General Assembly, then abstaining from voting on its own resolution after it was amended to condemn Russia, sends a very confusing message to the world. It creates the impression that America's commitment to its allies is wavering, which could have significant repercussions for international relations and global stability.
It's a dangerous game he's playing, and it's hard to predict what the end game might be. But before we get too bogged down in the complexities of international affairs, let's turn our attention to the drama unfolding within the Republican Party itself. We've got not one, but two potential Maggie-I on Maggie-I showdowns brewing. First, there's the DeSantis versus Trump rivalry over the Florida governorship. DeSantis seems to be operating under the assumption that he can peacefully coexist with Trump and maintain his own political ambitions. However, anyone who's observed Trump's leadership style knows that there's only room for one alpha in his pack.
Especially after DeSantis had the audacity to challenge him in the last presidential election. We all know Trump doesn't forget these things. And to add fuel to the fire, DeSantis is now openly backing his wife to succeed him as governor, directly contradicting Trump's endorsement of Congressman Byron Donalds. This is shaping up to be a political showdown for the ages.
The key question here is whether this is a genuine power struggle or a carefully orchestrated performance for their respective audiences. Are they truly vying for control of the party, or are they simply playing to their bases and using this rivalry to further their own agendas?
It's hard to say for sure, but it's definitely making for some captivating political theater. And as if that weren't enough drama for one party to handle. We also have the escalating feud between Tucker Carlson and Congressman Dan Crenshaw. It's like watching a political reality show unfold in real time.
These two have been engaged in a war of words on social media for quite some time now, with the conflict primarily centered around the war in Ukraine. Carlson, whether out of genuine conviction or to appease his pro-Russia audience, has consistently downplayed the conflict and criticized U.S. support for Ukraine. Crenshaw, on the other hand, being a staunch supporter of Ukraine and a veteran himself, has been vocal in his condemnation of Carlson's stance.
And things got really heated when Crenshaw was caught on a hot mic,
threatening
to fin-kill Carlson. I mean, you know it's serious when a former Navy SEAL threatens you with violence?
Yeah. Crenshaw's off-the-cuff remark, while perhaps made in jest or out of frustration, certainly underscores the deep animosity that exists between these two figures. It also highlights the increasing polarization and volatility within the Republican Party, as different factions battle for dominance and influence. It seems the Republican Party is becoming a battleground for clashing ideologies and outsized personalities. The question is, can a party so divided effectively govern, or will these internal conflicts ultimately lead to its downfall?
It's a question that's on a lot of people's minds these days. Yeah. All right, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive, from Elon Musk's attempt to shake up the federal government to the escalating tensions within the Republican Party. But before we move on, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. What stood out to you so far? What are your initial impressions of this wild ride through the landscape of U.S. politics in 2025? Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll delve deeper into the potential consequences of these developments and explore what it all means for the average American.
Sounds good.
See you in a bit.
Yeah.
Back in a flash.
Yeah.
Right.
It's certainly been a whirlwind of events, hasn't it? From Musk's unconventional approach to government to the dramatic shifts in law enforcement and foreign policy. So there's a lot to unpack and analyze.
You've got that right. It's almost like we're watching a political thriller unfold in real time. But amidst all the drama and intrigue, there's a bigger question that keeps nagging at me. What does all this mean for the average American? What are the real-world consequences of these developments?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? While it's easy to get caught up in the sensational headlines and the back and forth of political maneuvering, we can't lose sight of the fact that these decisions have a tangible impact on people's lives.
So let's break it down. Let's start with the potential consequences of having such politically charged figures in key law enforcement positions. What does that mean for the average citizen's trust in the justice system?
Well, when individuals with strong political leanings and ties to the administration are appointed to positions that demand impartiality and objectivity, it inevitably raises concerns about bias and the potential for conflicts of interest. Right. And we already saw a glimpse of that with the allegations of Ed Martin interfering in that domestic violence investigation. If that kind of behavior becomes commonplace, how can people have faith that the law is being applied fairly and equally?
Exactly. It creates a slippery slope where justice can be perceived as being for sale or used as a weapon against political opponents. This erosion of trust in law enforcement can have devastating consequences for communities. It can lead to increased fear, distrust, and a reluctance to cooperate with authorities, making it even harder to address issues like crime and social unrest.
And what about the ripple effects of Trump's seemingly erratic foreign policy moves? How does his flip-flop on Ukraine, for instance, impact us here at home?
Trump's sudden realignment with Russia has sent shockwaves through the international community, and its implications are far-reaching. It weakens America's standing on the global stage, emboldens adversaries like Russia and China, and potentially jeopardizes the security of our allies. It also creates uncertainty and instability in regions like Eastern Europe, which can have economic consequences that ripple across the globe, impacting trade investment and even energy prices.
So it's not just about abstract geopolitical maneuvering. It has tangible consequences for everyday America.
Precisely. And beyond the immediate economic and security implications, there's also the long-term damage to America's reputation and credibility as a reliable ally and a global leader.
It's a sobering thought. It makes you wonder if there's a grand strategy at play here, or if we're just witnessing the consequences of impulsive decision-making and a penchant for chaos.
That's a question that many political analysts and observers are grappling with. Is this calculated chaos designed to distract, divide, and consolidate power? Or is it simply a reflection of a leadership style that thrives on disruption and unpredictability? It's difficult to say for sure, but it's certainly a pattern that's worth paying close attention to.
And it's not just happening on the international stage. We're seeing similar patterns of division and infighting within the Republican Party itself, with these potential showdowns brewing between DeSantis and Trump and between Carlson and Crenshaw. It seems like everyone is vying for power and influence, and it's creating a climate of uncertainty and instability that's affecting everything from policy decisions to public discourse.
It's a classic case of what political scientists call factionalism, when different groups within a political party or movement are more focused on advancing their own agendas and undermining their rivals than on working together for a common goal. It can lead to paralysis, gridlock, and ultimately the weakening of the party as a whole.
And in a system like ours, where political parties play such a crucial role in the functioning of government, that kind of internal division can have serious consequences for the country's ability to address pressing challenges.
Indeed. It creates a situation where compromise and collaboration become increasingly difficult, if not impossible. And when that happens, it's often the people who suffer the most.
So it seems like we're facing a sort of double whammy. Instability and uncertainty stemming from both the actions of the administration and the internal divisions within the ruling party.
Yes, and that creates a very challenging environment for anyone trying to make sense of what's happening and what it all means for the future.
It's enough to make your head spin. But amidst all the doom and gloom, is there any room for hope? Is there anything we can do as citizens to navigate this turbulent political landscape and perhaps even influence the direction things are heading?
That's a crucial question, and one that I believe deserves a thoughtful and nuanced response.
I'm all ears. What are your thoughts? Where do we go from here?
Well, first and foremost, it's essential to resist the temptation to succumb to apathy or despair. It's easy to feel overwhelmed and powerless in the face of such complex and daunting challenges. But it's precisely in times like these that civic engagement becomes even more critical.
So you're saying we shouldn't just throw our hands up in defeat and resign ourselves to the chaos?
Absolutely not. We need to remember that we, the people, are the ultimate source of power in a democratic society. And while that power might seem diffuse and indirect at times, it is nonetheless real and potent.
But how do we harness that power effectively? What concrete steps can we take to make a difference in a system that often feels rigged against ordinary citizens?
There are many avenues for engagement, and they don't all require grand gestures or heroic sacrifices.
So you're saying even small actions can have an impact?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's the seemingly insignificant acts of citizenship that, when multiplied across millions of individuals, can create a ripple effect that shifts the tide of public opinion and ultimately influences the course of events.
Like what Give us some examples. What can we do in our daily lives to make a difference?
Well, for starters, staying informed is crucial. We need to be critical consumers of information, seeking out diverse perspectives, fact-checking claims, and resisting the allure of sensationalism and misinformation.
So you're saying we need to be more discerning about where we get our news and how we interpret it?
Exactly. We need to develop a healthy skepticism and a willingness to challenge our own assumptions and biases.
That's a tall order in today's world of information overload and echo chambers. But I agree, it's essential. What else can we do?
Engaging in respectful dialogue with people who hold different views is another powerful tool for change.
You mean actually talking to people we disagree with, not just shouting at them on social media?
Precisely. It's about listening with an open mind, trying to understand where they're coming from, and finding common ground. We might not always change each other's minds, but at the very least, we can build bridges of understanding and create a more civil and productive public discourse.
That's a refreshing perspective. It's easy to get caught up in the negativity and the polarization. But you're right, dialogue is essential for a healthy democracy. What else can we do to make our voices heard and hold our leaders accountable?
Well, there's the traditional route of contacting our elected representatives, attending town hall meetings, and participating in the political process through voting and supporting candidates who align with our values.
Those are all important actions, but they can sometimes feel like a drop in the bucket, especially when we're up against powerful special interests and a system that often seems unresponsive to the needs of ordinary people.
I understand that sentiment. But remember, every vote counts, and every voice raised in support of a cause or an issue can contribute to a groundswell of public opinion that can't be ignored.
It's about finding those little ways to make our voices heard, to push back against the chaos, and reclaim our democracy.
Exactly. Because ultimately, the power lies with the people. We just need to remember that and act accordingly.
That's a powerful message, and it brings us back to the original question we posed at the beginning of this deep dive. Is anyone in charge?
Well, the answer might be more complicated than a simple yes or no. On the surface, it appears that Trump and his inner circle are calling the shots. But as we've seen, their grip on power is tenuous, constantly challenged by internal conflicts and external pressures.
So it's a constant power struggle with different factions vying for control.
Precisely. And that creates an environment ripe for instability and unpredictable outcomes. Which brings us to a crucial question for you, dear listener, to ponder. Given the current state of affairs, can the U.S. government effectively address the numerous challenges it faces, both domestically and internationally?
Yeah, it really is a lot to process, isn't it? The sheer volume of information and the complexity of the issues, and then the uncertainty of the future. It can feel overwhelming at times. But, I mean, you've given us a lot to think about, and I appreciate your insights.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And you're right, it can be a lot to digest. But I believe that, you know, knowledge is power. And the more we understand about the challenges we face, the better equipped we'll be to navigate them effectively.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's circle back to the source material, that recent issue of electoral-vote.com. We've touched on some pretty heavy topics, from the potential chaos within the Trump administration to the escalating tensions within the Republican Party and the ripple effects of these developments on the global stage. But there's one final theme from the electoral-vote.com analysis that we haven't really delved into yet. And it's a theme that I think ties everything together quite nicely. The question of competence versus intention. Is the turmoil we're witnessing simply a result of incompetence, a lack of experience, or poor decision-making? Or is it something more calculated, a deliberate strategy to sow chaos and division for political gain?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that historians and political scientists will likely be debating for years to come. But I think it's important to consider both possibilities to examine the evidence carefully and to avoid jumping to conclusions.
So you're saying we need to be careful not to attribute to malice?
What
could be explained by incompetence.
Exactly. It's a classic principle of critical thinking, and it's particularly relevant in the realm of politics, where motives can be complex and multifaceted.
That makes sense. So how do we apply that principle to the specific events we've been discussing today? How do we disentangle incompetence from intention?
Well, let's take Elon Musk's attempt to shake up the federal government as an example. His demand for bullet point summaries from every federal employee could be interpreted as a sign of naivete, of failure to understand the complexities of government bureaucracy, or it could be seen as a deliberate attempt to disrupt the status quo, to challenge the traditional ways of doing things and assert his own vision for how government should operate.
So it could be incompetence, it could be intention,
yeah,
or it could be a bit of both.
Precisely. And the same logic applies to the other events we've discussed. The appointment of individuals with questionable qualifications to key law enforcement positions could be a result of poor judgment or lack of vetting, or it could be a deliberate strategy to stack these agencies with loyalists who will prioritize the interests of the administration over the rule of law.
And Trump's sudden shift on Ukraine.
His seemingly erratic foreign policy moves could be the result of impulsiveness, a lack of strategic thinking, or a susceptibility to flattery and manipulation. Or they could be part of a calculated plan to advance his own personal interests, even if those interests conflict with the long-term interests of the country.
It's a lot to wrap our heads around, and I don't think we'll have definitive answers anytime soon, but I think you've given us a valuable framework for understanding these events and for making sense of the political landscape we find ourselves in.
I'm glad you found it helpful. And ultimately, I believe that the most important takeaway from all of this is the need for vigilance, for critical thinking, and for active citizenship. We can't afford to be passive observers in this unfolding drama.
So you're saying we need to stay engaged, stay informed,
yeah,
and hold our leaders accountable.
Absolutely. The future of our democracy depends on it.
Well said. And on that note, I want to thank you, our expert guest, for joining us on this deep dive into the complexities of U.S. politics in 2025. It's been an enlightening and thought-provoking conversation.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And to you, our listener, thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of the forces at play, the challenges we face, and the importance of civic engagement in shaping the future we want. Remember, knowledge is power, and the more we know, the better equipped we are to navigate the turbulent waters of politics and to create a more just and equitable society for all. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and stay informed.